Hello, boils and ghouls. It's your old pal, John Kassir, the voice of the Crypt Keeper. And guess what, kiddies? You are now tuned in to PBD Horror Podcast. Pleasant screams.
Hey, what's going on? You're now tuned in to the PBD Horror Podcast. I'm Brandon, and today I'm joined by producer, director, and writer Adam Newman to talk about his new film, Everwinter Night. Adam, thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
No problem. So, Adam, you've been in the been creating films for about, 15 years now? What inspired you to get into this line of work?
Oh, boy. That's a good question. I guess if I really knew it, I'd probably think to get out of it. I think as long as I've been around, I've wanted to tell stories. You know, ever since I started reading and writing, I was writing stories and, you know, playing video games and things like that kind of got me absorbed in them. And we always had the TV on and we always had movies going. So I think that was probably the beginning stages. And then it was kind of figuring out where my place was when it came to writing stories. And I started with the novels and whatnot. And in high school, I got into playwriting, and then eventually I overheard him talking about the movie Magnolia. And,
okay.
So I was like, all right, well, let me give this movie a shot. And I put it on, and after watching it, I said, I don't know what the hell I just watched, but whatever that was, I need to continue doing that. Yep. And so ever since then, you know, I picked up a camera, and then I just started connecting with people. And, you know, I put in my time doing the 7 or 8 years of being really, really terrible at this. And then hopefully since then we've gotten a little bit better. I still like to say that if I could do anything else, I absolutely would. because it is driving me insane. But you know, it's the first thing that I think about when I wake up, and it's the last thing I think about before I go to bed. And it's basically the only thing I want to do. My brain is very broken, where every little thing that somebody brings up, I immediately try to turn into a story. So I guess I may as well continue to pursue it.
That's cool. So yeah, you touched on the plays and everything. I need to know about like the plays that you would put together with your friends and your family. And over on your sleepovers and stuff like that. How was that as a kid?
Oh God. Yeah. you're digging it up. I grew up in a really nice neighborhood in that we had a lot of kids that hung around, and me and my sister, we kind of called ourselves feral children, where our parents would just kind of release us outside and we go running around, and we ended up kind of picking up this whole crew. And we were very lucky that all of the boys that were in the neighborhood were about my age, and all the girls were my sister's age, you know, 2 years younger. And so we're kind of in this bracket, and we all started hanging out. And with my obsession with these stories and things like that, eventually we'd all have sleepovers. And the very unfortunate thing about me is I'm kind of a steamroller of a human, and I kind of just force a lot of people to do these things. And so back then I was forcing them to be part of these plays. And a lot of times we would take the Final Fantasy soundtracks and we would play them while we were telling the stories. And at this time I was really obsessed with fantasy and sci-fi stuff. And so that's kind of how it began. And so it's funny watching all of these people, all of these childhood friends of mine come back and watch the movies, you know, watch them on the big screen. Mm. And they all go, yeah, we knew this was coming. You know, there was no way you could not do it. So
that's cool. That's what it's all about, man, you know. Yeah. So just having that dream for something and just, you know, get into whatever you love, you know.
Absolutely, absolutely.
So I noticed you had a post also that you put up. 2023 was one of your best years. Can you elaborate on that?
Yeah, you know, I'm lucky enough where I've been thinking the same thing over and over for the past maybe 4 years. Mm. Where every year has been the best year of my life leading up into that point, which, you know, I'm really blessed in it. And it comes, you know, both professionally and personally. And 2023, you know, we finished up Everwinter Night, the movie that we're talking about a little bit today. And we're in pre-production. We started the pre-production process for our next movie too, Round the Decay, which we go into production in 16 days, which is a little bit terrifying. Nice. but yeah, it was just a lot of that. And it's kind of cool because Dreamscape Productions got created then. I used to be part of a production company called But It Did Happen Productions. Okay. And it's kind of morphed into Dreamscape. And now it's starting to look like a lot of my professional life is going to be making movies, which is, you know, it's been the dream for the past 15 years. And those were the first steps we were taking for this to be a reality. And now we're talking about making potentially two or even three movies a year, which, you know, is blowing my mind. And, you know, the very arrogant 18-year-old version of me would say, like, yeah, duh, this is exactly what was supposed to happen. But me now, slightly less of an egomaniac, is going, I can't believe that I'm in this position. So, yeah, 2023 was great. And, you know, we're only, you know, 3 months into 2024, but it's looking like it's already going to be the best year ever. So
there you go. That's the attitude to have, man. It's trying to like conquer whatever you have lined up. So let's talk about Dreamscape Productions. It's based out of New Hampshire. How'd you get involved with this company?
Yeah, so it kind of got formed from me and Sean Ward, who owns the company, and he'd been talking about it for years. I met him. I apologize to anybody who's going to listen to this, who's heard this story 1,000 times, because I do tell it often. But I was looking for a free location for a dystopian fantasy story that we wanted to tell, and we needed a barn location where we could build a set within. And so I reached out to a whole bunch of them, like I do in all these films, you know, just casting out all of my lines to see if anybody bites. And Sean did. I reached out about, he was running a place called Gould Farm at the time, and he owned a place called Pierce Farm in Topsfield, Mass. And I said, hey, you know, we don't have any money, but we're really hoping to shoot this thing. And he responded by sending his headshot and said, if you put me in the movie, you got yourself a location. And so that was probably 7 or 8 years ago. And now Sean, you know, it was great. We were finishing up every winter, and I had put, you know, $20,000 in myself, and my buddy had put in $20,000, and we knew that we had to come back for another few days to shoot the movie. And Sean jumped in and he said, hey, I'd like this to be the first feature from Dreamscape Productions. Wow. Okay. So all of a sudden it was born, and it was great because we didn't have to dip into our savings and go bankrupt. So it was great for that to happen. And then since then we've brought in Topher Hansen, who works as, he's going to be the post guy for our next movie. And okay. he did the coloring for Everwinter. He's also an actor. He was in Everwinter as well. So we've got a little team there, and then we want to continue to work with the people that we've been working with, you know, a lot of the actors and a lot of the crew that we've worked with, and we're working with them on our next project. And then, you know, those others that we weren't able to work with on this next project, we're going to work with them on the next one, you know, so we're really building something, or so we think.
Nice. Yeah. Now, like you said, Everwinter Night is the first feature from Dreamscape Productions. Can you give the listeners a synopsis of the film?
Oh, yeah, sure. So it's about these two best friends from childhood, Maddie and V, and they're getting back together to have kind of like a girls' weekend, a reconnecting type of thing, because, you know, they both went away to college and they're just starting to distance themselves a little bit, and they're trying to kind of rekindle that friendship. And when they meet up at this diner, Maddie's friends show up and kind of end up hijacking the weekend. They've just met these rich gentlemen who are like, hey, come up to our ski lodge. We'll pamper you guys for the weekend and it'll be great. And Maddie's in, and V is very not interested in it. And so they go up, and each of the nights over this long weekend, something a little bit more sinister starts to build until it kind of turns into chaos.
Ace. Now, I had seen that there was some big news that you guys had posted, that the film is also now available on Tubi. It's also available on Amazon Prime to rent for $1.99. So definitely, you know, for the listeners out there, rent this film to help support everyone that was involved in this project. And, you know, there's also, you can purchase the film for $4.99. So yeah, definitely. So how was the whole setup to get the film on Tubi? What was that like?
I mean, it's obviously great, you know, the fact that it just happened. So we went through and we're self-distributing. And so we're using Film Hub and we're very happy with it so far. And you know, we placed our movie on there. We had talked with a distributor and we had talked with a sales agent and we just didn't really want to go that route for this movie. Okay. Especially we can kind of figure out what our marketing plan is going to be going forward and kind of learning what our distribution path is going to be. And so we put it up on Film Hub and we got all of our deliverables and then, you know, sat there and waited. And then all of a sudden Amazon scooped us up and that was really exciting. And the tough thing, of course, when it comes to distribution is you never really know when it's going to be live. And so every day you're checking to see if you're up. And so Prime was great. That was huge. And we think that the price is great, you know, at $2 for a rental and $5 to own it. You know, that obviously supports us. It gives us a little chunk of that money. But what we care most about is people watching it, you know. So however you want to go about watching it is great by us. And then Tubi is such a great opportunity because it's free, you know, it's free. We get some of the ad revenue, which is awesome. We got picked up by Tubi 23 days ago or something like that. And we were waiting around and then finally it popped. It took us 22 days. And we know that some other people are dealing with 7 month wait times. And so, you know, we were kind of expecting something like that, but it got up there and now we have, you know, two big methods of getting this movie out there. You know, Prime is a great way, especially for people who know us, to rent the movie. Tubi is such a great streaming service right now for people that are just looking to find something. And if you just see the poster that you like, you go, you know what? Hell, why not? I'll throw it on and hopefully that works for some people. And we're lucky enough that it's already been hitting with some people and we've seen a couple reviews now and a couple posts on Twitter and whatnot where people are really enjoying it and they're pushing it, which is, you know, it's one of the more exciting things because that's all we really make these things for, right? It's nice to make some money off them, but it's even better when people get to watch them.
Exactly. And like I said, you know, $4.99 to buy on Amazon Prime. I appreciate you guys sending the link out, but I just had to go purchase it to help you guys, you know, help and support. That's what it's all about. The horror community is about, you know, supporting everyone and kind of getting their dreams to come true. So thank you so much. Like you said, with the poster work and everything, just that pops out. That was definitely something that stood out to me. Who created the poster art for the film?
I just got to say, thank you so much for saying this because the distributor that we had spoken to turned us down because of our poster, and which we were very surprised about because the poster's awesome. And this is my third interview today and every single one of you guys has said the same thing, which is, you know, it's a great poster. It is. And it's by Sadist Arts and Mark Schoenbeck, I believe is his last name. I don't know exactly how to pronounce it. But he's like a legend in this field. He creates so many great posters. And what's so great about him is we sent this over to him and we sent the movie over to him and he watched it and he went through and he came back. He said, you know, this is kind of what I'm thinking. And we had sent him a couple reference images and whatnot, but he took it and went in such a better direction than we were even considering. And we just gave him some minor notes, tweaks, and two drafts later, it is what it is. And I think it really falls in line with what the movie is. And it kind of gives the feeling that of the lodge that you're there and it's a little bit classy. And I love that there's very little color and it really makes the red pop. So I think it's awesome. And the great news is that the horror community have been the ones that have been like, dude, this poster rules. I'm in from the poster alone. So, you know, it's a great feeling and shout out to Mark for pulling it off.
Yeah, it definitely gives that like throwback horror film style, you know, you can't help but love it, you know, so that's great. That's great to hear like a little backstory to that. So the film won Best Drama Feature at the Central Florida Film Festival. Were you able to attend that event? If so, how was your experience there?
Yeah, it's crazy that it won for drama, which is when we started piecing together that, oh man, this movie does really... it's a lot of genres kind of smashed into one, you know? And so, yes, we were able to attend. So it was great. We had, I think it was six representatives there. Mm-hmm. Luckily, we also had one of our shorts playing there too. So it was kind of cool that we got to see our short, which is very different. It's a sci-fi romance action movie. So it's cool to have those two different experiences. Going to see it again with an audience that you don't know is incredibly exciting. It was great. You know, the theater was nearly packed. And afterwards, we got to talk to people. We got to sell some of the merchandise. Obviously, it's cool to win an award. It's really exciting. But it, nothing is quite as exciting as when somebody comes running up to you afterwards and says, oh, my God, that movie was awesome. Or they ask you a question about it. And then you tell them about the budget and they go, wow, that is a lot. You guys got a lot out of that budget. Or yes. We tell them the story of how the movie got made and they go, oh, my God, I can't believe that the movie's coherent. So, yeah, no, it was a really cool experience. And also being from the Northeast, it was great to go to Florida in January.
Yeah.
so we didn't have to deal with the snow and whatnot. So, yeah, no, it was a really special event.
No, that's cool. Yeah. You just touched on how the story of creating the film was so crazy. So can you tell us about that? Because I know there was you know, unforeseen complications that happened. You know, can you talk about that?
Yeah, sure. It's certainly not the way you should make a movie, but we were kind of forced into it. We never wanted to make Everwinter Night as it is. That wasn't our intention. We were supposed to make a very quiet family drama that had the same name, Everwinter Night. And what ended up happening was it was right at the end of the COVID guidelines by SAG. And we were trying desperately to meet these guidelines and we're having a very hard time. And we kept coming back and saying, will this work? And it became pretty clear that in order to meet their guidelines, we were going to have to potentially put another $10,000 or $20,000 into the movie. And it just wasn't something that we had laying around, unfortunately. So the day before, we were basically shut down. And so we had to kind of come together and say, all right, so we can quit right now and, you know, call it a loss for the few thousand dollars that we've already put into the movie, or we can try to make something completely new and, you know, put our heads together and see what we come up with. And so I had this old idea that I had been playing with, which is Forever Winter Night, which was very much based off of the relationship between my sister and I. And we kind of took that and everybody showed up on a Saturday. And what we started doing was we crafted the story and we boarded it over that Saturday. And then Chris Goodwin, the co-writer, and he's also in the movie as well. We started writing it the next day and probably got 40 or 50 pages done. He wrote forwards and I wrote backwards and we were able to get that 40 or 50 pages. And then we showed up on Monday to start filming. And we just went with it. And then after our 12-hour shoot days, Chris would start writing. And then I'd go to bed for 2 or 3 hours. And then I would wake up and I'd start writing. And then we tried to piecemeal this thing together. And it's not how you should make a movie. I think it's a very silly idea. And obviously, we went in a completely different direction. We went, you know, we decided to do this kind of comedy, kind of horror, kind of drama, just based off of that idea I had. And the actors had to trust us and we had to trust them. And if the movie makes sense at all, it's clearly a miracle. So yeah, I would tell nobody to ever do this ever, but it was a cool creative exercise, certainly, where you start to figure out what you can do with a limited amount of time and a limited amount of resources and using what you have, you know, at your disposal. And so, yeah, that's kind of the story of how it got made. I hope that the movie speaks for itself and that story doesn't end up being the big thing about it, but it is a cool little wrinkle, you know?
Yeah, I have to say that's impressive, you know what I mean? Because it sucks, you know, whenever you're putting something together and it just falls apart and you're just like, oh man, but that shows, you know, that your experience, you know, like 15 years in this, you know, to get something done like that, just to piece everything together and also bring the team together and just, you know, say, hey, we're gonna do this, and you guys did that in like 12 hours, you know, just locked in, you know, for a 12-hour shoot. That was crazy. But it's cool to see that you were able to pull that off. And I have to say the cast and crew did a great job. What was it like working with everyone?
You know, it's great. I'm so lucky to be in the position that I'm in, and most of these people are people that I've worked with so many years, you know. Chris, who I wrote the movie with, and he wrote way more than I did. I was busy directing. I remember I asked him one time, I said, hey, you remember this moment? And he goes, no, I was writing. I'm like, oh yeah, that's right. I was directing. So I've worked with Chris for years. Victoria, who plays V in the movie. We very creatively named her V. She's great as the lead, and we had worked with her several times. Jamie, who plays Jack, I've worked with him for 7 years. And then a lot of these other people were people that we'd almost worked with in the past, you know, like Nicolette and Alana, and then McKenna, who plays Maddie. A lot of these people are people we had known. And then the character who plays Dom, this actor named Love, I've worked with them for 15 years. They were my first movie ever. So we were lucky that we had this rapport with them already, which was great. But then, you know, it was our first time working with our DP, and we're really excited to be working on our next project with him. And so it was a mixed bag, certainly. And what was crazy is, you know, we're writing characters for people we know, and we're lucky. But then some of these people we got to know over that course of that first weekend, and we went, all right, well, I think a character like this would work for them, you know? Mm-hmm. So I still think, my guess is right now I'm actually still on set, and this is all a fever dream, and I just dreamt of getting out of it. But no, it was the most stressful experience of my life. But one of the great things was that every now and then you would accidentally hear the cast talking about it, and they'd be like, I think we're making something special. I think we're really doing something really cool. And that's the type of thing that gets you to get up again and continue writing. And yeah, so overall it was a great experience, but I always like to say that it's always better to have filmed than to be filming. So
there you go. That's cool. So the film, yeah, there's a lot of cool twists, and the film is full of great kills. You were able to craft a personal story that mixes a lot of what you love in horror with this project. Can you talk about that?
Yeah. So everybody keeps telling us it's a slow burn. And so they keep saying that about all of our movies. So it's starting to be our thing, which, you know, it is what it is. And that's what I like. I like slow burn cinema. It's true. Yeah. It's really cool that we were able to combine a bunch of the things that we love and that we're good at, you know. So Chris is a really good writer, especially of banter. He's really good when it comes to that. But I was also able to get the stuff in that I like, which, yeah, I do like horror, you know. I'm newer to the genre probably the last 5 years, because I was such a coward as a kid. But I'm not finally catching up on a lot of this stuff, and I really enjoy it. And I really do enjoy a good kill. So we tried to mix both of those things together. And the thing that I always care the most about in any movie, it doesn't matter if it's horror or drama or action, it's never really about what's happening. It's about who it's happening to. And so I care about characters the most. And I was able to find, you know, the Victoria, the V and Maddie relationship, like I mentioned, is a lot. It's about me and my sister, and it's about my fear of, now that my sister has a child and is married and lives further away from me, you know, it's the fear of losing that friendship. And that's really the heart of the movie. And so if you can find the heart of that movie, and hopefully people can empathize with that, and then you can also have a monster, it's tough to beat that, you know?
Yeah, I'm a big fan of slow burn films when it's done right, and this film was definitely done right. You know, the ending is a great payoff. So I can't even praise this film, like, I mean, even more because you guys just did a great job, and I just want everybody to definitely check this film out. I think that you're definitely going to appreciate it. So can you share any info of any upcoming projects, and can you tell listeners where they can find you on social media?
Yeah, absolutely. And for thank you so much for those kind words. That means a lot. And like I mentioned, there was just a couple people on Twitter that have been giving, somebody just like went out of their way to praise the movie, and then has gone out of their way to continue to push it forward and tell people to see it. Yeah. And I like to think that we make a movie just for one person every time, if we get one person to really be a part of it. And that guy right there, I went, this movie's worth it, you know. And it's amazing when people come forward. It's you know, I'm not an emotional human being. I'm an emotionless husk, as I say, but it is, it does get you a little bit emotional. So thank you.
Yeah.
The next project that we're working on is called Round the Decay. Mm-hmm. And it's far more of a horror, I would say, than Neverwinter Night is. It's still very character driven. But yeah, we're 16 days away from filming, which is terrifying as always. It's the biggest budget project that we've ever had. But we're very excited about it. We have a lot of actors coming back. We also are working with a bunch of new people, some people that have, you know, a little bit of sway and a little bit of face. You know, we have Roger Clark from Red Dead Redemption, and got Melody Kay from Camp Nowhere, one of my favorite childhood movies. And And we were able to pull a couple of those people in, which is really cool. And then our makeup, our special effects guy who's working on the monster for this monster movie is, his name's Greg McDougal, and he did Stranger Things. And, you know, he showed me a picture the other day of being on set of Dr. Sleep, which was really cool. So yeah, we're really, really excited about that coming up. And, if you want to keep up to date with us, you know, Dreamscape Productions, LLC, on both Facebook and Instagram. I'm director Adam Newman on Instagram. I'm also on Facebook, but it's tough to find me because Adam Newman's a very common name. And then Round the Decay, it's round_the_decay. That's for the new movie. And we do also have Everwinter Night on there as well. So lots of places where you can keep up to date with what we're doing. And, you know, our goal is to shoot Round the Decay in April and premiere it in October. And then in 1 year's time, I'll be sitting across from you again talking about that movie. So.
Definitely, man. I can't wait to check that one out because I had seen some of the pictures and everything, like for the monster, some of the stills. Man, it looks great. So
well, thank you.
Yeah, like some of the monster that you guys have set up, you know. So I can't wait to see what, you know, what a normal timeline, you know, set up for you is going to look like, because you guys killed it with this one, you know. Okay. So it's like, all right, and I can only just envision like something like even crazier when it's like intended to be a horror movie with all this laid out. So
sure.
That's cool. I can't wait for you guys, and congratulations on all the success for this film. You guys deserve it. Adam, thank you so much for coming on, and everyone listening, make sure that you keep your friends close and your enemies forever with Everwinter Night, available now to rent for only $1.99 or to purchase for $4.99 on Amazon. It's also on Tubi. You don't want to miss this. We'll be back next week with another episode. Until then, take it easy.
Game over.